Timothy, or rather 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 15. This morning I'd like to present to you some things that people need to know. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse number 15, or 1 Timothy rather chapter 3 and verse 15. We'll get it straight here in a minute. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Now, first of all, need to know about the church of God. And need to know that the church of God is the pillar and ground, or the support, the only support of the truth of God's word in this world. It is the pillar and ground of the truth, the support of the truth. And people need to know where the truth is. It's in scriptural New Testament churches. It's in local New Testament churches, like the one that Jesus built when he was here on the earth. As a matter of fact, Hebrews chapter, or rather, 2 Corinthians 5 tells us that he committed to that local church at Corinth the oracles of God. He commits the truth of God's word to every scriptural New Testament church that has come about since the first one that he built. That's where the truth is preserved. Mankind is not preserving the truth. Mankind is perverting the truth. Religion is not supporting the truth and upholding the truth, but they are perverting the truth. Listen to gospel singing this morning before services, and they read a verse of scripture, and I thought, that sounds kind of peculiar to me. So I got my Bible and turned over, and I looked, and sure enough, it was from a perverted version of the Bible. And so the truth is preserved in little scriptural New Testament churches like this New Testament church. And church, my admonition to you is that we never forsake the truth of God's word, but that we demand as a church to have the truth of the word of God presented and upheld by the pastor, the deacons, and the membership of this church, that we abide by the truth. And you know, today, like in Jesus's day, you know why they crucified him? Because he told them the truth. You know who the main ones who were supporting his crucifixion? They were the religious people of Israel. That's who it was, the main religion of that day, because they were in competition with it. Listen, religion today is all about money and power and prestige. Listen, the Lord's work never was about that. The Lord's work is always about exalting Jesus Christ, that Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And the Word of God is what promotes and sets forth that Lamb. And that Lamb is the hope of this world. It's the only hope of eternity. And that Lamb needs to be upheld and presented, and can only be by the truth of the Word of God. You know what? Want to know where the secrets of life are? You know what answers about death? Get into the Bible, the Word of God. Get into a good old King James Version of the Bible, because the truths of God's Word is preserved in that version. Amen. It's in the English language, and that's in the main language of the world is English today. And so therefore, these are facts. You could take them, you could leave them. God give you that opportunity. He gave you a will. You could exercise that will any way you want to. But you should not ignore the facts. People need to know. They need to know, first of all, that they're sinners. And nobody wants to be told they're a sinner. But it's true. It's true. Look at Isaiah 53 and verse number 6. Isaiah 53 verse 6 says, all we, now listen, all of mankind, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. there a time in your life when that wasn't so? That was a time in my life when it was so. But thank God, He found me in that way and brought me another way and gave me the ability to resist and to overpower that rebellious will of mine that rebels against God, that old nature. Listen, they need to know that we have all gone astray, everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Listen, though we went astray, and though we faced condemnation because of it, though we refused and rebelled when the Spirit of God drew and convicted us to come to Jesus and get our sins taken care of, and we rejected and refused and went our own way, God didn't give up on us. He sent His Spirit to draw us to Him who can take care of our sin, that Lamb of God. Should we know, or the world should know, that there is none righteous? Look at Romans chapter 3. And verse number 10, Romans, the third chapter, and verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There's none righteous with God until they come to Jesus Christ, and He makes us righteous with God. It is He who has the power to save. It is He who has the power to bring us back in line with God. And why should He do that? Because God created us in His image and likeness and gave us a free will, that He desires to have us love Him and worship and serve Him because of who He is. He created us each one individually for that purpose. And when we refuse to serve that purpose, we're rebelling against God, against our Creator. That's sin. You know what? 1 John tells us that transgression of the law of God is sin. And when we refuse and rebel and reject Him, and every one of us have done it, and I'm here to tell you that people need to know that we've gone astray. They need to know that there's none righteous. They need to know that sin came by Adam's fall. Look at Romans chapter 5 here. And verse number 12, he says, "For wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men because of Adam? No, for that all have sinned." In other words, Adam set the example, we followed. Every one of us. We're not accountable for Adam's sin, they need to know that. We're accountable for our own sin. Because listen, as a sinner, I can't help but sin. As a sinner, you can't help but sin. There's no man that can overcome sin by himself. He must have Jesus, that Lamb of God, that's able to take away that sin. They should know that the penalty because of sin. Romans 6 and verse 23, the Bible says, "The wages of sin is death." Now, those of you that have a great knowledge and are Bible scholars, and this gets boring to you because it's just old stuff. Listen, this old stuff is what others need to know, and you need to get it into your heart and your mind and carry it to them. They need to be told because they don't know. What do you mean? I mean, even most of religion and Christianity today don't know these basic facts that you and I take for granted every day. And one must know them in order to get the help they need to be rescued from the condemnation of eternity in hell, a place that wasn't created for man, but was created for the devil and his angels. The wages of sin is death. Now that death is not only physical death, but it's that second death Revelation talks about in the lake of fire and brimstone, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. The wages of sin is death, But thank God he didn't stop there. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, religion today will say the gift of God is eternal life through our good works. It's eternal life through our baptism. It's eternal life through our membership. It's eternal life for going our way. It's eternal life the way that we seem think that's right. Well, listen, Saul thought he was doing what was right when he saved the king and all the finest of the animals for a sacrifice to the Lord, and yet the Lord said it's better to obey than sacrifice. And it's still true today. Need to know it. Need to know it. And who is it to tell them? Those who have the truth. Who is it that has the truth? Church, you. He said it, you're a pillar and ground of the truth. And listen, don't exclude yourself. Because church means each individual. It's made up of individual members. We need to get this message to the people. We need to get it out, especially to our family and our loved ones. They need to know the truth. Because listen, Jesus said you can know the truth will make you free. The wages of sin. They need to know that it's the gift, and that it's separation from God. Look at Isaiah 64, verse number 6. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. Now, I need to take and say that us is me. You need to take and say that us is me. We're all in it. We're all guilty. You can't change that. Jesus can.
Amen.
Yeah, he made a difference there. He can make an eternal difference there. So we need to see that the wage of sin is separation from God, and all that's good for all of eternity in a horrible place that he made for the devil and his angels. The wage of sin is divine punishment. Look at Amos. Amos, the third chapter, verse 2. Amos chapter 3 and verse 2 says, you only have I known all the families of the earth. Therefore, I will punish you for all your iniquities. Told the children of Israel. Said he'd punish them. He must punish sin. And if he does not punish sin, then he's a partaker of sin. If we do not resist sin, then we're a partaker of sin. If we do not confront others with their sin, then we're a partaker of their sin. We either stand against it or we condone it. And brother, our society today used to stand against sin, but they no longer stand against sin in any way, shape, or form. Everything, every abomination to God is legalized today. But not for the benefit of man. Not for the benefit of man. You look at the consequences of it. Let's look at them. It's eternal consequences for some. People should know that God loves them. Yeah. He loves us in spite of us becoming his enemy. Yeah. He loves us. No question. It's with a constraining love. Look at Hosea. The 11th chapter, verse number 4 of Hosea. I drew them with cords of a man, with bands of love, and I was to them as they that take off the yoke on their jaws, and I laid meat unto them. He loves us with a constraining love. He loves us with a redeeming love. Look at Isaiah 38 and verse number 17. Isaiah 38 and verse number 17. The Bible says, "Behold, for the peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption, for thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back." And thank God, when he forgives and he cleanses, he casts our sins as far as the east is from the west, never to bring them again, never to hold us accountable again. Once we repent, once we confess, once we forsake, he takes it away. Cleanses, clears us. Why? Because of his constraining love, because of his redeeming love. And his love is unmerited, no question about it. Look at Deuteronomy, the 7th chapter, and verse number 7. Deuteronomy 7 and verse number 7. "The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because ye were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people." He didn't choose us because of our greatness. He didn't choose us because of our elegance. He didn't choose us because of our great abilities. He didn't choose us because of our good looks. He chose us because he loved us, because he created us in his image and his likeness, and he loves us as a mother loves her children, and then some. Greatest love of mankind at one time was a mother's love for a child. Listen, his love's greater than that. That may be the greatest among mankind, but his love is greater than that. And understand this, we did not deserve it. We were going our own way, just as happy as we could be, going away from God. But he sent the Spirit to draw us and bring us back, that we might come and face truth and reality and go back to him and trust him. They should know that Christ died for them. Christ's death was appointed by God. Look at Acts chapter 2, verse number 23. Acts, the second chapter, verse 23 says, "Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain." His death was appointed by God. He sent him into this world for that purpose. His death was also voluntary. Look at Matthew 26, verse number 53. Matthew chapter 26, verse number 53. "Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels?" His death was voluntary. He didn't have to die, but he died because of his love for you and me. He died desiring our fellowship for eternity. That we denied him by walking away, by seeking our own way. And he's done everything to bring us back to him. And he did it with us not deserving one iota of it. They need to know, not only does he love them, but he's done for them what no other could ever do, and delivered us from the eternal condemnation. His death was appointed by God. His death was voluntary. His death was a ransom. Look at Matthew, the 20th chapter, verse number 28. Matthew chapter 20 and verse 28. "And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Wrong chapter, 28 of Matthew chapter 20. Even so, the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. They should know that heaven is real, and that there is a heaven, and that there is a hell. But heaven is where man gains. In hell, everything is lost. Look at Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 16. Hebrews, the 11th chapter. Verse number 16. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Heaven, that to be desired is a city. They should know that heaven is the eternal home of believers. Look at Revelation 22. Verse number 5. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Those that put their faith and trust in the Lord and faithfully follow him, they shall be there for a certainty, no question about it. Heaven is a home, is a place for those that have believed in and trusted Jesus as their Savior. All of those in Christ are going to dwell in this place. They're going to dwell there in that new heaven and new earth. And those that are faithfully serving him in a scriptural New Testament church shall dwell inside that city. And all the others that are saved will be there as well, but they will dwell outside and walk in the light of the city, the Bible says. Now, some folks don't like that, but then again, them same folks believe the church is made up of all the saved, which never was, because John had his disciples. They were saved, but they weren't members of the church. Jesus had his disciples. Jesus' disciples, the church, they didn't fast because Jesus was with them. But John's disciple fasted and prayed. Why? Because they were not in the membership. They weren't in a close relationship. They weren't in fellowship with him, but those in the church were. That's the difference. That's the biblical difference. They should know that heaven is a prepared people. Look at Revelation 21, verse number 27. There shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination, or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. A prepared people, those that have repented of their sins by faith, trusted Christ. And then a special place, dwelling inside that city, will be those that have faithfully worshiped and served him. They should know that Christ is the only way of salvation. Hebrews 2:12 tells us that he is the captain of our soul. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 12 saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. How about Hebrews 2:10? For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, and in bringing many sons into glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Jesus is the captain of our salvation. He was exalted to give salvation. Look at Acts 5 and verse number 31. Acts chapter 5, verse number 31. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. Then, he is the only way to the Father. John 14:6, he says, I am the way, the truth. Not a way, he said the way, there's only one. I'm the way, the truth, the life. And listen, no man can come to the Father but by him. And we need to understand, Jesus is the only access we have to the God of heaven. You say, well, just any way and any religion is okay and you can get to God. That's not what God's word says. The only way to get to him is through Jesus Christ. And the means by which we get through to him is in humility. We're willing to repent with all of our heart, turn from self and sin, and turn trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did. In that he come into this world, became a man, and that he lived, he bled, and he died. He was buried and rose again for our justification. Listen, Ephesians tells us that one has to believe in the resurrection of Christ. If you believe in the resurrection, you got to believe he died and that he was buried. And he rose again for our justification. They need to know. People should know that Christ should be received. And he should be received now, because we don't know what a day may bring. There's no escape for those who neglect salvation. Look at Hebrews chapter 2, verse number 5. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 5. Or verse 3, rather. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken? And this verse of scripture is not applicable to that. That's those who already have salvation, for those that are interested in truly knowing. But anyway, there is no escape and there's no help for those who neglect salvation. The rich man in Luke 16 chapter, there was no returning, there was no changing his eternal destiny. He was condemned. He's still there today suffering, desiring a drop of water on his tongue. People need to know that the day of salvation is now. We have no promise of tomorrow. And there's no second chance after salvation. Again, Luke 16, the rich man there, he didn't have a second chance. He couldn't get a second chance. Matter of fact, he couldn't get a second chance for his brethren that he desired for them to go and warn them. And yet they told him the truth. The truth is this: if you don't believe the word of God and trust in Jesus through the exalting of him by the word of God, then you're not going to have the help and the hope, and you're not going to access God as your desire should be. Listen, people need to know, but who's going to tell them? Matthew 28, 18 through 20, the Great Commission was given to his New Testament church. And now consequently, the churches that have descended from that church have the responsibility of telling people what they need to know. And we've looked at exactly what they need to know. Desperately need it. Need it now. Because you don't know. Death can come instantly. If it doesn't, it's by the grace of God. Let's stand. In addition to that, Jesus could come at any minute. What shall we sing, brother?
Number 17.
People need to know these things, and we need to be telling them. Our family and loved ones need to know these things, and we need to be telling them. This man-fearing spirit that keeps us from talking and presenting Jesus goes against the order that God has established and that He ordered. As His people, we are to go forth, we're to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're to preach it to every creature, the Bible says, without exception. Because of their great need, if we really love somebody, we're going to confront them with the Word of God. They say, well, preacher, it's none of your business. I don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear it. So listen, I didn't want to hear it. I didn't want to be bothered by it. But thank God they didn't give up on me. Thank God they kept confronting me. And finally, I was willing to listen. We're singing a song that commits us to Him having His way with us. What is that way? That way is that we go and that we tell these people these things. That we tell everyone these things. And especially our family and our loved ones. Tell them the truth. The truth hurts. The truth upsets. But listen, Jesus said He didn't come to bring peace on the earth, but He came to bring a sword. That sword is the Word of God. That would divide father against son, mother against daughter, and so forth. But listen, that sword is the only hope that they have of escaping an eternal torment. We need to be telling them. Amen. Thank you for your attendance and attention. If there's no word, as we look, Lord, in dismissal prayer, Brother Jared, conclude our service.
Dear Father, thank you for this opportunity to be here and hear your word go forth, Lord. To be convicted by your spirit. See where we stand in need, Lord. And thank you for this message. And Lord, I ask that you be each and every one of us that we take it to heart. Think on it, ponder on it, Lord, apply it to our lives. Especially if there's any lost here today, Lord, that they can be convicted and see that need salvation. Accept it before it's too late, Lord. I thank you for my salvation. For you being willing to sacrifice down the cross for my sins, Lord. I ask you to be with anybody who's not here, especially those that are sick and afflicted under the doctor's care, Lord. And you guide the doctors and help them, Lord. And especially ask to be with my wife at this time. Ask you to each and every one of us that we can be here tonight, Lord, and hear your word once again. And thank you for this church that I may be a part of, Lord. And ask that you strengthen this church and help them and help us grow, Lord. And ask with all the other churches that are still striving and fighting for your truth, Lord, that we can stand strong and be all ready and waiting for your coming, Lord. I ask for your forgiveness of my sins where I've fallen short. And thank you once again for you to express my prayer.
Amen.